Father, we just thank you for your precious word. And Lord, we just thank you for those aha moments that we can have when we open up your word. When we do our reading, Lord, as we read through your word, and Father, there's just something that jumps out and just captures our attention. We just want to give you praise and thankful for your presence being here this day. In Jesus' name I pray. I want to put up that first slide. Oh, I guess I'm going to back up because I can't see the monitor here. Does anybody know what is an ETS? Huh. I didn't know about it until I started doing the study either, so. What about an ENT? Nobody knows what an ENT is? You want to put up the next slide? This will give you a hint, maybe. Does anybody know what an ENT is? Lord of the Rings? Treebeard? Yeah. The trees and the, I can't remember what the name of that forest was. I don't know if you've kind of noticed, you looked at your outline, you notice I have no title on it. And because I didn't want to give away my topic here. But you'll have opportunity, you'll figure it out here pretty quick. But like I kind of shared with you, I was reading in Isaiah and I came across this passage. Isaiah 61 verse 3. He has sent me to the sorrowing people of Jerusalem. I will give them a crown to replace their ashes. I will give them the oil of gladness to replace their sorrow. I will give them clothes of praise to replace their spirit of sadness. They will be called trees of goodness. That phrase just grabbed my attention. Never ever seen that phrase. And this is because I was reading out of the International Children's Bible, reading a different version. So if you're reading, I would like to encourage you, change up the versions once in a while. You kind of see something a little different. Then they will be called trees of goodness. They will be like trees planted by the Lord and will show his greatness. And most of us know in that verse it says either oaks of righteousness or trees of righteousness. And so I started looking up trees in the Bible. I found that there's over 300 passages referring to trees, and over 1,000 references to trees, things related to trees, such as like fruit, wood products. Do you think that trees are important to God, besides being for us to enjoy and to look at? Well, I want to go back to that word ets, since I didn't give you the definition of it, what it was. But in Hebrew, it's referring to a tree, wood, timber, a stick, a plank. It refers to trees of all kinds. It can refer to a tree, bush, or even a symbolic tree. And here's kind of the interesting thing about an etz. Once you cut an etz down or a tree down, it still is an etz. It's still considered an etz in the Hebrew. So you have wood made out of an etz. You have firewood made out of etz. You still have etz. I thought that was kind of interesting. And then the Bible mentions over 36 different types of trees. And some of this include Moses' burning bush. I always didn't think bushes were trees, but it's an etz. A burning bush or a bush is an etz. The grapevine, it's an etz. The tree from the mustard seed. And in Luke 23:31, it refers to the greenwood or the live tree. And also the dead or the dry wood, which is still your etz. Anybody want to guess what my title is now? Rebecca, you figured out what my title is? What? Lord of the Rings? Oh, you don't know? Well, what have I been talking about? Trees, yeah. Well, I'm going to take it a little bit step further that the Bible uses some patterns to help us see parallels between trees and us. And I thought that was kind of interesting because I have never ever thought about that kind of concept before. And I thought, you know, obviously that was very strange to me that we, you know, that we would be considered like a tree. But the Hebrew Bible, or the Hebrew Bible, connects them with same keywords, images, and scenes. And trees are often used to illustrate a moment of decision and testing for us humans. They are also used to illustrate a moment of communion with God. Humans and trees are found together at most of the key points in biblical history, like Genesis 1 and 2, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life. Moses in the burning bush. And then in the first Psalm, you have a tree planted by streams of water. And Jesus as the true vine. And then in Acts, it several times mentions about Jesus being hung on a tree, or which is the cross. And that's a dead etz, or dead tree. It's still an etz. Well, I want to kind of look into this a little bit further here. And I found a study on this one about the days of creation, and I thought this was quite interesting. Day one, God creates light. That's one act. Verse 3 says, "Then God said, let there be light. This was the first day." And then on day 2, it says, "God separates the water," which is, again, one act, one action. And verses 6 to 7, "Then God said, let there be something to divide the water in two. So God made the air to divide the water in two. This was the second day." And then the third day, God causes the land to emerge. Again, this was just, that's one act. Verse 9, "Then God said, let the water under the sky be gathered together so the dry land will appear. And it happened." And then here's another one, a second act that happened on that day. "It causes fruit trees to emerge from the ground. Then God said, let the earth produce plants. Some plants will make grain for seeds. Others will make fruit with seeds in it. Every seed will produce more of its own kind of plant in it." And it happened. And that is the third day. And then the day 4, "God fills the sky with sun, moon, and stars." Again, that's just a singular act, one act. And then this also corresponds with day 1. Verse 14 says, "Then God said, let there be lights in the sky to separate day from night. These lights will be used for signs, seasons, days, and years. They will be in the sky to give light to the earth." And it happened. This was the fourth day. And then day 5, which also corresponds to day 2. "God fills the water and skies with fish and birds." Again, it's just a one singular act. "Then God said, let the water be filled with living things, and let the birds fly in the air above the earth." And this was the fifth day. Day 6. Again, you kind of begin to see a pattern here. First 3 days, first day was one act, second day was one act, third day was two acts, day 4 was one action, day 5 was one action, and day 6 is going to be two actions. Day 6, God creates animals to fill the land. Again, that was one action. "Then God said, let the earth be filled with animals, and let each produce more of its kind, and let there be tame animals and small crawling animals and wild animals, and let each produce more of its kind." And it happened. And then the second action, it says, "It causes humans to emerge from the ground." Just like in verse 3, or in day 3, "Then God said, let us make human beings in our own image, in our image and likeness." That was the sixth day. I thought that's kind of interesting that this corresponds. If you go back to verse 3, that was when the trees were made and be fruitful and everything. Well, same thing within day 6. So that's kind of, I thought that's interesting how that even right back at the creation, that the trees are being compared with humans. Trees historically have been used as illustrations of eternal life because they possess the power within themselves to self-perpetuate. You know, again, the fruit trees on day 3, they were fruitful. And with mankind on day 6, we're supposed to be fruitful. Both the trees and humans, we both all have seed so that we can reproduce. There are other similarities. Tree leaves filter out the carbon dioxide. What do our lungs do? They filter out the carbon dioxide. Water is necessary for trees to grow and flourish. Water is a regular image of all kinds of things that come from to make human perfected life flourish, to make humans' life flourish. So God's Spirit's breath. So God's Spirit's breath is compared to water in multiple places. If you want to put up Isaiah 44, verses 3 and 4, it says, I will pour out water for the thirsty land. I will make streams flow on dry land. I put my Spirit into your children. My blessing will be like a stream of water flowing over your family. Your children will grow like tree in the grass. They will be like poplar trees growing in beside streams of water. And there are so many more examples about trees in comparing with us and the human beings. It's just mind-boggling. You know, there's just, when you figure there's over 1,000 illustrations. And then again on Isaiah 61, verse 3, in the last part of it, they will be called trees of goodness. They will be like trees. So that, you know, you can't hardly argue with that. And there's one of the trees that I kind of want to talk about a little bit, that we're kind of compared to, when you think about it, we're compared to, and that's the tree of life, back in Genesis in chapter 2 there. I don't know what you think about when you hear the word tree of life. I used to kind of think, well, that's basically internal life. And I found these statements about the tree of life. The tree of life was planted in the middle of a garden. That's the center of things. And God should be in that center, just like in the ark. You know, he was in the right there in the middle of the tabernacle, in the ark. The tree of life represents life that is beyond the original life that God breathed into human. I thought that was interesting. God wanted more for us than when he just gave us life. The tree of life is not itself divine. It is a symbol of divine life and the abundance that is meant to symbolize proximity to God's divine life. This is a life way beyond our wildest expectations. I like that abundance part. Wow. We all like abundance. The tree of life is a tree that represents immortality, divine presence, wisdom, and righteousness as a path of life. The tree of life symbolizes the fullness of life and immortality available in God. Available in God. It's kind of like when you sit down and you eat a bunch of food and you're full. You become content. That's kind of when you want to, you know, go into that nap mode there. You know, it's like, I don't need anything more. God gives us that fullness. You know, when we have a fullness in a relationship, you feel secure and cared for. We kind of touched on a little bit here already that the tree of life was growing in the middle of the garden, but it was also growing along with the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And I'm not going to get into that one. That just would be another sermon by itself. But life, as in the tree of life, can refer to both physical life and quality of life. The life that God intended for us to live. A life of abundance, fullness, and provision. And the rest of the Bible moves us towards the hope and promise that God will provide the means to gain access to his presence and blessing, the source of life in all its fullness. Well, you know, in the tree of life, the actual word tree of life, it's mentioned in Genesis 2. It's also mentioned in Proverbs. And it's like four times in Proverbs, and then I think four times in Revelation, and that's the only places that the tree of life is mentioned. And in Proverbs, the tree of life is associated with wisdom. In Proverbs 3:18, it says, she, and they mean wisdom, is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And of course, in the New Testament, the only ones was found in Revelation. I'm just going to read through those. It says, Revelation 2:7, let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst, or the paradise of God. Revelation 22, verses 1 through 2. Then he showed me the river of water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the city's main street. And that has got to be a picture. That's got to be just marvelous picture there. The tree of life was on each side of the river, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree are for healing the nations. Each one of these verses can be expanded on to who knows how far. Revelation 22:14. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life. I like that. It gives you the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. And then Revelation 22:19. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share of the tree of life and the holy city, which are written about in this book. That's a pretty serious charge. Take away his share of the tree of life. And as I kind of studied this, the tree of life just kind of almost to me embodies what God is like. You know, it's kind of a hard concept for me to grasp anyway. And the tree of life was smack dab in the center. And that's really probably where we should have God in our lives. We should have him in the center and have him reside with us that way. And I thought, I came across this statement. It says, when God says, eat of the tree of life, he is saying, be in my presence and live life with me. I don't know about you, but I've always enjoyed trees. And I hope that this message will kind of spark you. When you're reading your Bible, look how many references there are to trees. Do a little study on the trees. Because, you know, I looked at some of the trees that are in Israel. Israel's kind of pretty barren. The trees are mainly in the mountains. So it's you know, if you want to go up on the mountain, you're going to find trees. And that's where we're going to find God. You know, it's kind of hard to describe, but tree of life, that is something else. Lord, we just thank you for your scripture. We thank you for the tree of life, that it's more than being saved. It's more than having eternal life. It's more than spending eternity with you. It is you. It is your being. It is your existence. Your substance. It is your everything. Your all in all. We want to thank you. We want to give you praise. We can't praise you enough, Lord. We want to glorify your name. And Father, protect us as we go out from here and take the blessing that you have given to us each day. In Jesus' name, amen.